Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Podcast. Today on this show, we have Jen Adams from the Lounge at the End of the Universe. Hello. Thank you for being here. We did not bring our hype button.
Pew, pew, pew.
I know, right? Thank you for being here today.
I can go.
Yeah. Can you do that? Make some noise for you.
Yes, clown noises are definitely acceptable. All right, awesome. Well, thank you for being here. We were supposed to have Mike Wittry from Wittypedia, but that didn't work out. Funny thing, though, I actually know Mike from my roller derby days. I used to play, on the men's team.
I would never associate the Mike Wittry and roller derby together.
Really?
So
yes.
I need follow-up information.
Okay. According to a bio I saw, I'm used to ref. That's when I played, and now it sounds like he's just an announcer for roller derby. Yeah, and I believe, if I remember right from years ago, his roller derby name was Oliver Closeoff.
That checks out with his sense of humor. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, no, yeah. I'm bummed we had to cancel the show, but we're trying to move as many things outdoors as possible. And then I think as soon as we said that, the weather machine just decided to go, how about maybe potential rain, but 50 mile an hour winds.
Right. Yeah,
let's do that.
We were driving in and we were why does this happen to the Lounge? You know what I mean? For Idaho Comedy Fest, the weather was really crappy.
Yeah. I know.
Why? So this place is so amazing.
Yep.
So, we love the Lounge.
Yeah. Thank you. We love you guys too.
Oh, thank you. So tell us, how has it been going being a venue owner in these times?
That show The Good Place?
Yes.
They talk about rooms where they torture people in hell. I think this is one of them.
You're in hell.
And I mean, I definitely know a few other venue owners who feel similarly. I can't speak for all of them. But some of them are out of business. Aww. I just talked to another friend of mine who said, a lot of his business owner friends just couldn't keep their head above water. And he was so happy that we were.
Yeah.
And I have to attribute some of that to the fact that I'm just the right amount of crazy.
Right.
Okay.
And really stubborn. And really determined to have my way when I want it. When I opened this place, which it was a total fluke that it came about, I just got an opportunity and realized this is every skill set I've ever built. I mean, I've been working on and off in bars since I was a young teenager.
Yeah.
I was a comic for 20 years. There's
together.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then there was a whole slew of things once we opened that I was like, oh shit, this is a lot harder than I thought. I didn't think about this and this and that. So I have a lot more respect for people that I probably disrespected as a performer in the past.
Oh,
so I'm
really?
Sorry.
Yeah.
I had no idea what a pain in the ass we all are. This crazy circumstance on top of all of it. I mean, it's hard enough to open a business.
Yeah.
And they always say the first 3 to 5 years are, going to be a struggle anyway. And we came out of the gate just killing it. May 11th of 2019.
Oh,
so we were open for 10 months and then we locked down.
Gosh.
Yeah. So, at that point, it was heartbreaking, and really disappointing. And financially, I have, 100% confidence that we would have all of our bills paid off and be making money at this point,
right,
with the trajectory that we had. And so this has been, and I, after only being open for 10 months, I was like, if I just close, I will always wonder what this place could have been. And I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Like that would have been a regret that I would not have been able to get over. So I just said, fuck it. And went like another 50 grand in debt to stay open. And through, you know, PPP loans and the EIDL loans, and then just some bank loans. And then it looked like we were about to start opening up a little bit more. And it just like, it was like something being on your chest, crushing you. And then for a second, it just let up and we'd got one big deep breath and then nope, like here we go again.
I know. It seemed like it was going to let up.
And then just passed in Boise, right?
There were mandates for gatherings. I forget. I think there depends on the size and stuff that the mayor passed. I don't remember.
So luckily, most of the things that apply to us, we already were doing. And we've erred on the side of caution the entire time. When the mandate was under 50, we were like, let's only sell 30 tickets. Like, let's try to stay as manageable as possible and pay the bills, but like stay safe. And so we did that. And so we were already masking or asking people to mask out of chairs. If people sit down and they want to have a drink, that's fine. They can pull their mask down. But and now there's some paperwork that we have to do if it's over 250 people, which we won't be anyway. And we're trying to move things outside and just keep it out there until it's cold. Like really, really cold. So, but apparently this is going to be the rainiest season ever. So.
Great. I mean, I'm looking forward to the snow if we get all that.
Cause we love to,
I need some other hobbies besides this. I think I've never skied. I've never snowboarded.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
you have something to do in the wintertime around here, I've noticed.
No, I just find depression eating is a good hobby. That's the one I go for.
We're down for depression.
Right on. Actually, the first month of the lockdown, I think every single day I ate a bag of chips and a tub of salsa.
Wow.
Every day. So, I mean, the venue ownership side, it was exciting, and I keep trying to keep myself in a good positive frame of mind, but it's really hard because it just weighs on you and weighs on you. And there's, I mean, I love that Boise's growing so much, and I love that certain scenes are growing, the comedy scene and the cabaret stuff and everything. It's great. But because we're sort of like, you know, the little club that could up on the bench, I feel like we're like the little redheaded stepchild because we're not downtown. That was a little bit of a challenge to begin with. And now it's really a challenge, especially because there's so many shows everywhere and there's a lot of choices. So we're just, you know, trying to put our best foot forward. We're trying to be good allies to other business owners. We've sponsored other things happening at other bars, you know, just to help out everybody. Because I mean, I try to see, especially with venue owners, that it's a community and we all kind of have to
support each other.
And it's a slower road, but if we all go together, that's better for everybody, you know? So, so that's been my philosophy the whole time. But it is not always reciprocated, which sometimes also hurts my heart. I'm far too giving a lot of the time, but I just, if I'm not, I get really cynical and I turn into a real asshole and I don't like that person. So, so I, I refuse to stop believing in the goodness in people.
Well, we love the lounge.
And that's kind of something we've talked about too. Is like,
is amazing.
You know, we,
Can you describe that for the listeners?
Well, it feels like you're accepted. It doesn't matter who you are.
Like everyone's accepted here. There's, you come in and you, it feels like, you're safe, like safe place.
Well, we brought Peyton and Asher, who are part of the LGBTQ community, and they just instantly felt like this is a home for us.
That's awesome.
Because I mean,
they weren't scared, and other places they've gone, they have felt fear, you know, for just being who they are. And so, you walk in here and you feel like you can just be you.
That's awesome.
Amazing. The first time we came, I was like, I think we may have found our people.
That makes me so happy to hear.
I really did. I was like, I love it here. And so, I don't tend to like bars and nightclubs, and just because I don't feel comfortable, I don't feel like I fit in sort of. So,
And we try to not be a bar or a nightclub. It's like a community performance art space. Which is, I think, something that I, really the closest thing I think to us is probably the VAC. And the difference just between us is that we have like multiple performance spaces, but also all of these artists just in the building. So there's just always this great level of creativity happening all the time. But we try to... most of us have a theater background, mm-hmm. so we're all theater nerds, which, yeah. as everybody knows, is where all of the LGBTQ people go in high school anyway. Yeah. That's where you get accepted and you feel like you belong, and you get to try on different hats and kind of figure out who you are. And, you know, if you are different, theater is a really safe space to kind of figure all of your stuff out. Yeah. So that's how most of us wound up in theater in the first place. And then from there, like, we do have a bar. And that is how we keep our doors open, but it's not our main focus. Like, we're not trying to like sling the liquor. Like, it's just, you know, here, please buy this stuff so we can keep producing shows, because that's what we're all really here to do. And that's what we love. And then outside of that, we've always made it like the weirder it is, the more we want it. That's kind of our philosophy. Like, if you are a weirdo, you are our people. We're all completely weird here. And creating this place, and this is probably why I am so stubborn and I need it to succeed, is because I feel like I belong here.
Right? Yeah.
And I don't often feel like that anywhere. Mm-hmm. I've always felt other my whole life. So getting to create a space where I'm like, no, this is 100% accepting. And even on the other side of it, I mean, we've thrown a couple of really conservative shows here. Like, we have this very conservative comic here, and we had people, rural, like agricultural farmer people drive from Oregon. I was doing tickets that night, and they were like, oh, well, we were up at 4 o'clock this morning taking care of the chickens, the cat. And I was like, whoa. And then the show was at 7, and they were like, it's almost our bedtime, you know?
Right.
And you know, we try to make everybody as comfortable as we can. I mean, obviously we don't want bigots and people that are judgmental of others here.
Yeah.
But we try to be open as much as possible to everything. And because to me, that stuff's weird.
Yeah.
All the stuff I'm like, whoa, that is weird. So
we just saw you did a wedding reception, or did you?
Actually, we do a lot of private rentals. And I mean, you know, for us, it's just, the mission is keep the doors open, doors open. And a lot of that income helps us reinvest in, not only it keeps our staff working and employed, but it also gets people aware of the space, because they'll come in for, we've done baby showers here, birthday parties, all kinds of stuff, and are continuing to do so. And that helped us actually through a lot of the beginning of when we were finally kind of allowed to open a little, we did a lot of that stuff. So and people love us for that reason, because we're super artsy. And if they have a cool idea for decorating, we're like, oh yeah, because to us it's set building. So we're like, oh, you want to hang stuff from the ceiling? Great. I will spend 2 hours going up and down a ladder. Yeah. Putting these things on the ceiling, because it's going to look amazing.
Yeah.
And we're always so much more excited about people's experience here, because that's really what we do. That's the way I look at the space, is that this is our chance to give somebody a lifelong memory, to inform what their mood is going to be, how they feel. And that's the impression that we're really making, is, and it's that whole thing of, and I think it was a Maya Angelou quote, that people won't remember what you say, but they'll always remember the way you made them feel.
Oh,
yeah.
And so that's kind of where we're at as far as our shows.
I think that's accurate. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It definitely has affected us.
how
we feel when we leave. We feel good.
Yeah, we do. We've always enjoyed every time we've come to the lounge, to the shows. Yeah, it's really, we love coming here. So it's a great space. I want more people to come down here, see all the shows.
Yeah. I do too, because then I can pay other people to do the things I hate doing, and then I can be having some fun too.
Right.
We've been here when you were a table. Do you remember that show?
Oh, that was at the Idaho Pun Slam.
Yes,
yeah, you were on stage.
You became a table.
I have a picture of that.
That's funny. Oh, that's right. I forgot. Well, because she didn't have a place to put her box. And I was like, I'll just run up and get down there. So,
You will do anything.
I will.
To make it work.
Or just to be just the butt of a joke. I do enjoy that too.
Yeah.
So are you doing comedy at all? Or
at first when I opened this place, I was like, I don't want to perform in my own club. It's weird. Right.
Yeah.
And then I made it weird. And then it actually took a couple of the other comics being like, hey, before you open this place, like, you are a respected comic in the community. Like, you still are. We know you're not just going up in your club because you own the club.
Right.
Like, we know you're. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I am funny.
Pretty good.
So I started doing some more shows, which was great, because I'm still an entertainer at heart. And when I don't do it for a while, I get super depressed. And I forget that. So yeah, I just did Crystal Moore's show, the Dark cool. Jokes show, which is totally where I shine. I have a very sick sense of humor. I've tried to like work clean, and it's a nightmare for everybody because I just don't think that way. I'm a little bit twisted, and I get that from my mom, who's wonderful, and I love her sense of humor. But I was on a Bad Parents show, another place I also belong. And I'm doing another one, and that we have that show coming up October 16th, actually, and it's here. So that's a one that moves around to different venues, which I love that about a show because it will keep its crowd, but it gets to introduce that crowd to different venues. And that's awesome. So they sort of share that crowd with everybody, and that's that communal kind of thing that I really love. Tilly the comic is one of the producers of that.
We need to have her on sometime. Yes.
Well, great. So you can she is hosting. So we're taking a pretty extended hiatus from doing our open mic on Wednesdays. So this Wednesday, which I think is the 22nd.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's the 22nd. Will be the last one for a while.
Okay.
But the following Wednesday, she is doing her first feature spot opening for Bob DeBono, who is a really good friend of mine from New York. Bob is great. He's on Jimmy Kimmel Live all the time. He's on Larry Wilmore because he does one of the best Trump impressions ever. And he goes to places and is just Trump for the whole time that he's there. He's wonderful. And he does it for every crowd. Like when they bring him down to Florida, like he's doing it for people that love Trump.
Right.
Yeah. And he's masterful enough that he can still kind of be embody Trump, but also get people to laugh at those Trumpish things that he does. So he's pretty good with that stuff. So they have him on talk shows all the time, and he makes a lot of appearances. But he is very funny too.
Yeah, we've been looking at him. I think we followed him, and so if we can get both of them on for when is that show again?
That's the 29th. He's just passing through town, so it's a Wednesday. But we made it 7 o'clock, so you can be home by 9 and in bed.
I've seen him with all the Trump. I mean, he's orange.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And he goes all out, the big spray tan with the lips that are all like a little butthole. He's great. So he'll be here the 29th. And then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we have Craig Gass back.
Yeah, we saw that. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he's so awesome. We've had to really change the format of the way that we're booking right now because we can't afford to take any risks, but we also can't afford to bring big headliners in because, you know, every other week someone goes on the news and then everyone gets scared again. And then it affects business. And Craig is one of those people that is worth every penny that you spend on him. And he generally takes a guarantee. And this time he was like, let's just sell some tickets and we'll see what happens. And because, awesome. Well, I mean, and he called me at a time I was feeling pretty dark and he called me and gave me like the boost I needed and was just like, I just respect you so much. You hustle so hard. You care so much about what you're doing. And I was like, thank you for seeing me. I'm going to get emotional about it. And I was like, I just needed to be seen.
Yeah.
And he did, which was great. No, so I love him.
Don't do that.
I know. It's just... I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was exhausting.
Well, seeing your posts recently too about like, you know, who's noticing me and what I'm doing kind of thing.
We're like, we do.
I know. Thank you.
We love you. Yeah. We think what you're doing is amazing.
Those are those late nights where I wish my phone had a breathalyzer on it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I had a bottle of wine and I'm feeling sorry for myself.
I go, should I post this? He's like,
somebody noticed me. Yeah, I know. But you know what? I mean, they're real feelings. It's always like embarrassed the next day, but thankfully I've in the 20 years of stand-up humiliated myself in ways that like now I'm just over it. I'm like, of course I did that. Sometimes I do that.
So
there's a wonderful level of self acceptance.
It gave us an insight into you because you're kind of running around here and we haven't really gotten to know you exactly. And so it's like, there she is.
I am a giver.
I
enjoy that. I enjoy giving to people, but sometimes you just feel a little empty.
Of course. Well, you're the behind the scenes human.
Mm-hmm. You know what's weird though? I was just thinking about this because I found an old book that actually Muff Jones had got for me. It was a copy of the Velvet Hammer book, and I was in the Velvet Hammer burlesque, and they're a world famous troupe, and I was their magician, so Trixie Von Haase, and I had a wonderful time in burlesque. But there's two photos of me in that book, and they're both sort of these like dressing room photos, and I'm in them. And I was thinking about it when I found it the other day, because I was like, that's kind of been my comfort level. Like I love to be on stage. I love doing that, but I've always been somewhat uncomfortable being in the spotlight at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I peripheral the spotlight. Mm-hmm. And I always still want the recognition for the skill level and for the time I put in and care and mm-hmm. you know, dedication to crafting things. But I don't want people to just pay attention to me.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And that's why even nights here when we're super duper busy, I'll put my staff out front and bar back for them, and mm-hmm. I'll just run around in the background.
Yeah.
Just keep an eye on everybody and just kind of like, I'm here, but yeah, whatever. Like, just kind of. So, and I think that's why I always like when things started to go really well for me in stand up, I would like take a break. This is getting uncomfortable. Yeah. Stop noticing. So I kind of had to come to terms with that piece of it too.
Would you say, are you an introvert or an extrovert?
Oh God, I don't know. Yeah. I haven't gotten below the levels introvert. Of my damage yet to figure that shit out.
Yeah. I feel like I'm in the middle a little bit too, kind of omnivert a little bit. Yeah. Because this is the most extroverted thing we do is doing our podcast and we talk to so many people now.
We used to teach body combat, so we'd be up on stage just like with mics
fitness
and
working.
I can absolutely see that.
Yeah. And it was great, but we were exhausted afterwards just from mainly the mental part.
Well, yeah, teaching is like that is almost like a performance as well. You know, mm-hmm. you're doing it. Yeah. So,
well, and with comedy too, I think when I was doing it all the time, I wasn't able to be present anymore because I became empty.
Right.
Because comedy for me, I mean, I grew up in a magic show. My dad was a magician. And I was like a mess of a teenager. So I stopped going to school because I knew I wanted to be in the performing arts somehow. So I protested by just not going to school until my parents agreed to let me just be in my dad's magic show and make a living and learn how to do that. So I did that. And magic was... I really loved working with my dad and I really loved being a part of it, but I was never super passionate about it, even though I became pretty skilled and then wound up going to Vegas and traveling and stuff as a magician.
Yeah.
But when I found comedy, I was like, oh, this is it. And I realized, I never missed a comedy special when I was a kid. And like mm-hmm. that all of my magic was comedy based. And I was like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I had been feeling like I didn't fit in magic. Mm-hmm. But it was so opposite too, because magic was so much about the deception and comedy for me is all about the truth.
Yeah.
So mine is really emotionally driven because I had so many issues that's what I wanted to talk about. And all my favorite comics were the ones that were getting into like the dark underbelly and like the corners. Right. Nobody wants to go because they're all that's where all the dirt is. Yeah. And I was like, that's where I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And when I first started, it was a mess. I'm sure that there's footage out there floating around that it would be highly embarrassing. Me just screaming at audiences because I didn't have the comedy skill yet. Just talking about really uncomfortable stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm definitely extroverted. I love being around people. Mm-hmm. And if I'm home by myself, sometimes I don't know what to do with myself because there's nobody there to serve or to like,
Mm-hmm.
So, until I'm totally wiped out and then I don't want anybody around me.
Right.
But it doesn't take me long to recharge. And I have to think that is just growing up in New York City, you have to find alone space no matter where you are.
Yeah.
And I only need 5 or 10 minutes sometimes of just, you know, and I can go in there in front of a room full of people and then just kind of come back out again. Whereas my partner can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, he needs days of being alone. Nobody talked to me. You know, I mean, he is absolutely an introvert and he's a teacher. He goes and he gives it all at school and then he gets home and he's like, I don't want to talk to anybody. Just leave me alone.
So
I could be like, sorry, I'm not trying to be a dick, but I need like an hour. to recharge.
Sometimes.
I
can do it in less time, but
Yeah, and it's funny with comics too, because some comics will go, like my friend Alvin, he has to go in a room by himself and get very centered and very kind of focused on what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense for his style of comedy. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And for me, I need to go and start talking to people and get conversational. And that's my warm up.
Yeah.
Because my favorite shows are the ones where I don't do that many jokes. I just sort of connect with people and create. Like, I love that kind of comedy. Oh, yeah. It's my favorite. Although it is good to have some jokes to fall back on. If anybody's listening that's thinking about getting into comedy, definitely write and have some jokes.
Yeah.
But outside of that, just different processes, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I'd say I'm more extroverted.
Alan's on a cruise ship right now.
He is.
Yeah, we've talked about having him on the podcast. Yeah, we might have to do it like Zoom.
How long has he been out of this area?
So he is out of northern Idaho. He lives up in the Coeur d'Alene area.
Oh, okay.
And he actually produces shows up there because there's the college in Moscow.
Yeah.
So he had a little run up there. It was Moscow, Coeur d'Alene, and Spokane. And you'd fly up, do those, and then come back down from wherever you are. So, yeah, I don't know if he's still got them going right now. But yeah, he hopped back on another cruise ship and,
He's doing a lot of those ask me anythings. It's funny. Yeah, what people will ask.
Yeah, this won't take long. I like those where he's just like, here's my opinion about this ridiculous thing. And it's nice little sound bites.
He's an awesome guy.
Yeah. We got to get better sneakers though, because he does do a sneaker check-in on his podcast. If you watched it,
that was one of the things I was bummed about. We actually had an event lined up here that was DJs, and then it was people coming in that actually deal in vintage and collectible sneakers. And I just don't buy them. I stay away from it because if I had the money, I would be a sneaker junkie bad. And I have a couple friends who are, and they're always showing their sneakers off.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to go there.
They're expensive.
Yeah, I know. I feel like for me, they're like hard drugs. Like, I know if I try it, I'm going to like it way too much, and all of my money is going to be gone, and I'm going to destroy my life.
Yeah.
So stay away from it.
I mean, like, after I've watched a couple of episodes, and I was like, I need some like Jordans now to be cool. Apparently, yeah. So
yeah, he actually had custom sneakers made for him by someone.
Oh my gosh.
He was showing me pictures, and I was just like, you are so bougie now. What happened to you, Alvin?
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought he was from New York. I thought he was with that crew.
No, he's Chicago.
Okay.
He's out of Chicago.
Okay.
Now, do you still have family in New York? You said you were
from
there.
Yeah. No, my mom still lives in the same apartment I grew up in on the Lower East Side in Manhattan. What's that?
Do you get back there?
I do. I mean, I haven't, though, for the last few years.
Yeah.
But we were going back every other year. My partner's a theater teacher out in Nampa. So every other year, he would take his juniors and seniors to New York for a week of plays and musicals and stuff. And I just tag along and stay at my mom's place and eat at all my favorite restaurants. And my trips back there usually revolve around scheduling what food I want to eat each day and then what plays I want to see. But yeah, no, I haven't been back for a few years. I was back, I guess this November, like 3 Novembers ago, for quite some time, but for a while I didn't go back there cause I had too many like kind of dark memories and shadows and stuff. But the last time I was back was the first time that I was like, oh, I think I'm okay with this place.
Oh,
and I got to kind of wander and really enjoy
and
my neighborhood.
And
it was fun. I feel like, I outgrew all of the trauma.
Yeah.
But I miss the food and I miss the theater there and the culture and some of the opportunities. But there's a lot of those here now and it's not as oversaturated.
Really.
So I would have never been able to open a venue there.
Oh, no.
I mean, you have to have millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And,
we've talked about going back to hang out with the people that we met at the Idaho Comedy Fest.
We met some cool people.
And like Brett Raybould, he said if we're ever in New York, he'd have us on
his
podcast. So
awesome.
Yeah, we thought that'd be so fun. So. There were some amazing people that came here.
We met
really
some really cool people.
We're having Jenny Zagrino back as well. Actually, she is.
I saw that.
So we're having, it seems like it's feast or famine around here. So we either have like nothing going on for the weekend or like both spaces running. So the first weekend of October, Craig Gass is upstairs and we have Jenny Zagrino headlining downstairs, and the shows are staggered, so if you see one you can just pop downstairs and see the other show afterwards if you want to. She is hilarious and I love her so much.
I didn't see her at the comedy fest.
Oh my god. So she's one of those ones that I had gone on just as, because I got the list from Stand Up New York, so I started looking and like, okay, well who are they bringing, like what kind of talent is this, and trying to figure out where we were going to put local people and how they would fit well with those particular people and shows, so that everybody could kind of, so that the shows could feel right. And I got to her clips and I was like, I adore her. So I had reached out to her and I was like, I want to have you here for a whole weekend. That would be great. So she's coming.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And then we have a lot of comedy through the end of the year. Grant Lyon is coming back.
Corey
Michaelis too. Yeah. Sam Tripoli is coming. Yeah. Zane Helberg is also coming. Mm-hmm. And those are like in the middle of the week shows. But yeah, now cool. Sam Tripoli, I know from Vegas when I first started. Yeah. So we go that far back. Wow. So that is now 22 years. Is when I met Sam, when he was still doing, he hadn't moved from Vegas. He had gone there to go to school, to university. And then I guess started doing comedy. He was in an improv group there called The Mutiny, I think, when I first moved there. And at that point, I don't know, he was doing it like 2 years and I was like, oh, he's so funny. You know, it's just like, but yeah, it'll be good to see him. And then later, we reconnected at the Comedy Store because I was a Comedy Store comic out of the San Diego Club in La Jolla, which is where Matt is also from.
Oh, I didn't know that.
My bartender. Matt is a Comedy Store comic, like passed by Mitzi Shore, and worked for the family, and he managed the La Jolla Comedy Store for a long time.
Oh my gosh!
And he moved here.
Know Bobby Lee?
Oh yeah, we both do. God. Oh, I can't. I have such an inappropriate Bobby Lee story.
We had tickets to see him in Spokane in October. He canceled.
No, yeah. We go way back with a lot of those guys, you guys should definitely podcast with Matt. He is so interesting, and he's so funny, and like
hilarious.
Right,
just the little quips I get walking back and forth is hilarious.
He has no filter. Sometimes I'm like, you don't say that in front of the customers, like inside voice. Most of the time, he keeps me laughing, and he's just honest and himself.
Yeah.
We know Sam from the Comedy Store. Well, I reconnected with him there, but he knows him from there. So, and 6 months after I accidentally moved here, I told Matt, just come out and stay with me for a couple months. And then he just never left. And then we helped Jeremy open Liquid downtown. He trained the bar staff and the club staff. And then I did the booking and the entertainment side. So we helped build that club. And then I was like, come over here and help me with this one. Because, you know, we've been working together in this capacity for so long. Mm-hmm. But I told Sam, I was like, hey, it's me and Matt Bragg. And he was like, oh, it's a reunion. So,
cool.
So I'm looking forward to catching up.
I love that about this community. It feels like a connection. Everybody.
Yeah, like, it's like a network.
Suitman and Joe Gomez, and now we planned a little trip with Chris's dad to go to Seattle, and we're like,
awesome.
Hey, let's look those guys up. We could totally do something or see a show
Dante does a lot of shows, I'm sure he's got something going on.
It's really fun. I love that.
So fun fact, during the Idaho Comedy Fest, when we started getting the messages about coming in and having time to interview all these comedians, which was awesome because we love stand-up comedy, we started thinking like, and this is kind of how you manifest things you put out in the universe.
We were like,
that'd be super cool to become like the Lounge's kind of official podcast. Yeah. And then months later it happened. And we're like, oh my God, it's so awesome.
I'm excited. I love the way that you guys do. I mean, like, you really do research, you do some little deep dives and stuff. It's great. Yeah. I was super impressed the first time that we podcasted together.
We were so nervous.
The one with you and John's first one we've done on location, really. And so, it was awesome. It was really cool. And
we're getting our website rebuilt, and we have a page that has all of your podcasts on it, so people can come and listen to all of the stuff that's there. Yeah. Because, I mean, you have a bunch now from Idaho Comedy Fest,
that it took so long to get those out because we like to do the YouTube thing. We want to do fronts and backs and music and make it look cool, but it took us a couple months to get 9 of them out.
So we just start releasing them a week at a time. Yeah. I said, okay, we have like 2 months worth of podcasts here.
I think taking the time and being mindful about it makes it a better product that you're producing. But also, I think we're doing it again next year. So start re-releasing them leading up to it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm working on it, and I just kind of, again, like with IFC or I'm sorry, I don't know. Yeah. ICF, IFC is different. with ICF, it was, just waiting and waiting and waiting, 'cause we weren't sure what was going to happen with COVID, and then like, oh shit, go. And then it was literally like 2 months of it, which is why it was so chaotic. My staff didn't talk to me for like 3 weeks. They were all so mad at me. They were like, this is exhausting. And I'm like,
I know. You were supposed to have an outside stage too, but the weather.
It rained the whole weekend. I know. It was just, and then we had to fit like 3 stages of shows into 2 and just, and managing that many comedians and without people getting their feelings hurt or egos or whatever. Like, I mean, you know, we're all sensitive people with little tiny feelings inside. Yeah. So that was hard too. But it was great having Brian Lee here for that because he gives no fucks at all. Like, he's just like, whatever, just get over there and do your damn job. So I was like, thank you. You get to, he's like, I'll be the asshole. Send him to me. And I'm like, thank you so much. I don't like being the asshole. I'm terrible at it, actually. I'm always like, I'm sorry that I have to, you know. So we've been working on another project, which is just a weekend women's comedy festival that's supposed to happen in March, and have been working on sponsorships kind of behind the scene and stuff. So I hope that happens. Who knows at this point, you know, cause, literally every month at the beginning of the month is just a, it's just a to get to the finish line of rent. So, and we have been very, I mean, like, I've sold things here and they're like, oh, we need like $200 more. Let's put this on Facebook Marketplace. Like, it's been, it's been that like to the bone. It's still pretty stressful. I cannot say it's made me the best version of myself. Although my daughter, who's 9, is producing an event here in October on the 22nd. I think we decided on the 22nd, 21st or the 22nd. It is a FNAF themed Halloween party. So she's really into Five Nights at Freddy's. So it's like this, it's dark. Like, and this guy like accidentally killed his kid. So he like brings her back to life in an animatronic and then decides to continue killing children and putting them in the animatronics of this kind of Chuck E. Cheese type place called Freddy's Pizzeria or something. So, I mean, when she first got into it, I was like, this is so, are you sure? But then I remembered, like, I was her age watching Nightmare on Elm Street. So, you know, I mean, not that that was appropriate either, but you know, my parents were like, we don't know. So, you know, so she was home on Canva designing all the promo, discussing like what the night ticket prices, what the night was. So I was just I mean, also I was like, pick something less like, you know, crazy and fickle and not necessarily always dependable. But I mean, she's into it. So we went over to a friend's house and her and her friend cross-dressed each other. So they dressed him as a female and then she came out with a tie and everything. And they came up with different names. And she came out with like a really big personality accent kind of thing. I was like, I've taken to her a lot of drag shows, clearly. And she made us all gather around in my friend's living room and she was like, all right, everybody sit down, keep your table talk down. Remember there's a 2-water minimum. And I was like, oh geez. Like, so she's picking it all up.
She's going to be a performer.
Or a minimum. Producer, you know, or both, you know, I mean, I've always produced, because Matt and I were talking about what punk rock really means. Because, you know, people, I think, misconstrue what it is. They think it means like mohawks and spikes and the way you dress. And to me, it's a frame of mind and a way of thinking. And it's very much about like, you know, manifesting your own destiny and doing it in the way you want to. And so we were discussing that and I was like trying to give an example and I was like, well, so for example, when they would only put, it still kind of happens, but when I was coming up in comedy, like there was one girl on the show and then they were like, well, you can't be on the show too, cause we already have a girl, like you were a dog act or something. And so, you know, instead of sort of accepting that, I just started a whole series of women's comedy shows. Cause I was like, well, fuck this. If there's not space for me, I will create that for myself. And I was like, that's kind of in the spirit of punk rock. Like if there isn't a venue for you, you make one and just go, well, you know what? I don't need to stay within a structure I don't believe in. I will create a new structure. So, so I've always produced because there hasn't been a whole lot of room for me. And when I first got into stand-up, they didn't like that I was a magician because I love doing. And so I eventually just stopped bringing that stuff to the comedy clubs, which now I'm like, why did I let those assholes, you know, get to me? So I just started doing variety shows because it just made more sense, you know, and that's kind of what this place is.
Was your kiddo on the Pun Slam?
She was on last month's
Those
Pun Slam.
Kids were amazing.
She's really good.
How good they were.
She's really, really good. I love that because that's something I started doing with my dad when I was a kid. So the Pun Slam, I mean, I love punning anyway. I've done it my whole life because of my dad. And my dream was always to be in the O. Henry Pun Off. But once I got kind of inundated here, I just realized I'm not going to Austin. So we just have it here instead. Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, I love that she's into it and she does it at home and we and do it, you know, we so get into good. It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause during our podcast, we were trying to do a little pun thing, but Chris and I were like blanking. Yeah. Tiffany and
can't
Dan
put me on the
kept
spot
it going.
For a pun.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes a specific it part really of does. Your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely does. That's a fun one. We can't wait till September 24th.
Yes.
That's going to be outside,
yeah,
right?
Don't say
outdoor.
That it's outside out loud because then it might rain. But yes.
Okay, yes no, yeah.
So yeah, we're moving it outside. We want to just keep everybody comfortable and safe if we can. You know, and it'll depend on how many people come. You know, if we have 20, we might consider doing it because we can... We have plenty of space to socially distance 20 people inside, but I would like to do it outside. Mm-hmm. So we'll bring chairs out. Everybody should bring a sweater for that. And if you have a comfy camp chair you prefer, bring that. Yeah. That's fine too. Mm-hmm. I know Soph will be there. She loves the pun slams. Mm-hmm. And if there's a spot open, I'll
she'll be up.
Gently push her towards the stage and she'll come up with some good stuff.
Nice. So
loved it.
Yeah, that was a really cool show. And prior to that, actually listening to and watching, you were like, what was your reaction?
Oh, I was worried because I thought it was going to be really corny. And I had said during the podcast, is doing like the, like groaning and doing like that okay? And they said, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. That's oh, yeah. Perfect
reaction. So different.
It.
So much better. It mm-hmm. was hilarious. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
And it was like, I'm down. I'm in. We're going to the next one. Yeah.
It's funny how many different emotions come out when people are punning. So you do get those groaners where people are like, oh, God. Yeah. Which is, I love that reaction. I try to at least put one of those into everything. A single one because I love making everybody do that at once. But then there's the ones that like you're just delighted by because you're like, oh my goodness, how clever. And then there are ones that are just hilariously funny.
Yeah.
You know, we've never had anything that was super duper inappropriate because we try to keep it. I mean, most of the people that are wanting to go on stage for the Pun Slam are word nerds. Mm-hmm. And usually if they're word nerds, they're kind of bookish. And that's like, those people tend to be kind of PG-13-ish anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's like that nice little nook or like little area where there's a little tiny bit of line crossing, but not so much.
I actually thought maybe I'd be a little too dumb or slow to like, you know, maybe I won't get it. It was so easy to get. It was amazing. They only had this much time with their words or their concept or whatever. And they came up with all these thoughts. Believe it. And people last minute were signing up. Like they don't, they didn't even take the full time to look at their info and come up.
That's why so the first one I had ever listened to, and we didn't see it during the Idaho Comedy Fest, but was that one from the Comedy Fest. It had like Matthew Broussard and Freddie G. Matthew Broussard actually killed it.
He's a pun enthusiast, clearly. Yeah.
The crazy thing is, I think Matthew Broussard is a great writer, and because we interviewed him and it was kind of flat. And a question I asked him, I said, do you know people that are not funny in person, but are great writers? And he was like, me.
Yeah. And we got that. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And for the Pun Slam, I mean, he would just, it was great because I was listening to it and he would have a sentence and there'd be like four puns in like one sentence. Yeah. Like he was skilled at that. Like he's a great writer. In person, flat though.
So, COVID interrupted it, but the intention with the Pun Slam was always to take the winner of each month and the runner up of each month. And then at the end of the year, the 12th month, we would have a big finals.
Yeah.
So that's happening this December on the 18th. But we wound up with more people. And at this point, it's like 3 years of Pun Slams that we've sort of mashed together because we had like 3 months and then it shut down. And then so we were able to kind of fit them in. Are you out? Oh, there's Matt and he's leaving. So we were able to fit everybody into this one. And then the winner's going to get $1,000.
Wow.
Right before Christmas, which is awesome. Fantastic time. And then we're gonna have surprises for the runners up and just some swag bags and stuff for everybody that was in it. And Matthew Broussard was one of the people that won during the comedy festival.
Yeah. Coming back?
So we're trying to see if we can fly him out.
Oh my God.
Not only for that, but hopefully for a weekend to do, to work the club as well. Yeah. So, so hopefully he'll be available and able to come out. Cause I think that would be a real thrill. And also we get a great comic for the weekend.
Yeah, I watched his special on Comedy Central and it's really good. Yeah. I mean, he is a great writer.
Yeah.
So that'd be cool. We'd probably pitch in to bring him out.
Yeah, we'd pitch in.
Sweet. Well, we are looking for sponsorship. So, but we do have some people interested in sponsoring it. So that'll be good.
Oh, cool. Nice.
I don't want to make any announcements yet.
I know.
Hopefully I'll be able to announce it. So on the 27th, which is Monday, I am guest hosting on the X. Big J is out of town, so I'll be on with Nick for the whole morning show, which is great because I wound up, after I stopped booking the club here, I wound up on morning radio here for about 3.5 years on a country station, which was not a good fit. I was a great fit with my my partner, my morning show partner. We hit it off, and that's why they gave me the job, because other than that, like, they shouldn't have. I'm outside of, you know, country music from like the, you know, 20s to the 70s. I don't know. And it was modern country. Yeah. And I'm like, who the hell is this? So it'll be fun because I get to delve back into doing morning show for a day. Then I believe Craig Gass is going to guest, like, because Big J's out for the whole week. So he's got different people lined up. So hopefully I'll be able to announce our presenting sponsor if we get all of that nailed down before then. And then the 27th, I'll be able to say, hey, this is our sponsor. And they will be sponsoring the prize money, which is awesome. And this month, if you want to be in the Pun Slam, if you're going to compete, you don't have to pay a ticket price.
Oh, we
so
saw
it's free.
That, or I did.
Yeah.
No, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah.
So
and people
compete.
Can just show up that on the 24th and if they're going to participate.
Yep. I would get here about 6:15. The show starts at 7:00, but if you get here between 6:30 and 7:00, there should still be time to sign up.
Nice.
So that'll be good.
That's
so
exciting.
So yeah. And just, you know, I hope everybody out there knows that we really try to keep everyone safe. And I mean, we buy rubbing alcohol by the case. And we found these spray bottle tops that just screw onto the alcohol bottle. So we just take that off, put that on, and we just run around and just spray everything in between anything and do rounds with the bathrooms. And even if we're people going up and down the stairs, we're just down the banisters and everywhere we possibly can.
And you're diligent about keeping masks on until you get to the table.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, and once in a while we have somebody that will kind of, you know, try to protest, but I think because we do comedy here, there's that nice way to sort of be very firm but also diffuse it with a sense of humor. Brian Lee is great at that, and you know, he manages to get everybody to kind of fall in line while also still having a good time about and that is really sort of the craft of it, because whether somebody's right or wrong, like, we're still giving them that experience and that memory. So we try as hard as we can, which, by the way, is exhausting. So please stop fighting us. But outside of that, you know, that's the thing we care about most is, you know, we have the opportunity to be a really, like, big part of somebody's life they carry on with and that they'll think back to and have feelings about. And that's the imprint that we're trying to make.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like most of the time we accomplish that. And then sometimes I just hide in my office if I know I'm not going to add to that emotionally, because this has been hard. You know, I used to, when I did hard things, remind myself, oh wait, you breastfed, because that was the hardest thing I'd ever done. That no longer is accurate. This is actually harder. And I thought that was the hardest thing I ever did.
Harder than breastfeeding.
Yeah.
I haven't had kids, so I'm assuming it's rough.
For some people, it is a breeze. Some people, you can't make milk and then you cry about it, which stress doesn't make it better. This is definitely the hardest thing I've ever done, for sure. There have been a lot of really big highs and some really low lows. Just got through one of those because I thought we were going to have to close at the end of this month. And then it just seems like whenever that's about to happen, we have a randomly one really good night or something shifts a little bit, and then we just like barely squeak by. Because right when the Delta variant started, we had all of these bigger shows booked, and then they were just so horribly attended that we were like, okay, we lost $2,000 tonight, we can't have another one. Then the next weekend it was like $1,500, you know. So we just kept being in the red, like, by big chunks of money, and it's scary. And it's stressful, and I don't like thinking about money anyway. I mean, it's like one of my weird triggery things just from being in the middle of it as a kid.
Yeah.
And so now that's like all I can think about.
Yeah.
Like,
I
get why. And I never did before, like understand why, you know, the venue owners in places I was working were, they were just sort of kind of around in the background, but they'd disappear for a while and weren't always in the, like, even on a great night, not always in the best. I get it. I get it now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because there's just like, you're intense. All of that weight is on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's not just, about people having a good time, but there's people depending on you to help them make a living. You know, I mean, I have employees that I'm responsible for their, you know, bills, because they need to make money. And so, you know, now I've got like a family to worry about that's outside of my own family. And I mean, it's, all of that's tough too. And everybody that works here are people I genuinely love and care about. You know, I try to keep it as a family if I can, because that's how I grew up. I grew up in a family performing arts business, and I don't want to work with people that I don't genuinely care for. Yeah. And if you're not happy here, I don't want you to be here.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you have to be the right kind of crazy, especially for this place, because, I call most of the people that work here my Swiss Army, because everybody here does so many different things.
Yeah.
I mean, our sound tech is also a DJ.
Right.
He is so tech savvy and capable and really creative with it. And then all of us behind the bar, most of us are performers. Mm-hmm. You know, we just added a puppeteer who worked with the Muppets.
Oh,
really? Wow.
Yeah. Cool. And actually, because I was starting to get so down about all of it, I decided I needed to produce a show again, that I'm also one of the writers for. So I brought back the variety show that I used to do at the Space Bar once a month, called the Yum Yum Comedy Hour. It's a very, the structure's an old timey, like a variety show, like Spike Jones or, you know, one of the, like, Ed Sullivan kind of, but like old school.
Yeah.
And that's the format. And it feels antiquated, even though it has kind of a topical humor in it. And then we present modern acts within that structure. So Matt Voorhees is my co-host for that, the accordion player from A Mighty Band of Microbes.
Oh, wow.
And then we've just added Len Levitt to the cast, who's a puppeteer with 40-something years of experience.
Cool.
He worked with Sesame Street. He worked with the Muppets.
Wow.
And so we now have puppets in our cast as cast members.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I'm a Muppets freak, and I always have been. So it's so exciting. And we've done a couple of table reads for the scripts that we have so far. And we always bring in a musical guest. And it is really, the show is kind of a homage to the Muppet Show, which I believe is the best example of a modern vaudeville show or a modern variety show from the last century. So, so it's modeled loosely off of that in structure.
Wow.
But with, it's for grown-ups.
Yeah.
So it'll make it more fun.
I love the Muppets. I love the two guys up in the balcony. I love the Swedish Chef.
Well, speaking of that type of like theater, when we went to New York last
we watched
Avenue Q,
which was amazing.
Which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is an amazing show.
Yes.
So good.
I know.
Can't believe
we go back,
how good it was.
Yes.
And you didn't even see the person operating the puppet.
Even though they're right there on stage, so good.
We're gonna have to check out one of those shows.
And it's fun to have Muppet or puppet swearing and things.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah.
Puppets
yes.
and old people cursing
well,
is my favorite thing.
Puppet sex scene.
There was
in that. Yes.
Yeah. So there will be some inappropriate puppet stuff.
Good, good. Love
yes, super excited. And because it's Halloween season, the show is Halloween themed, so there'll be Halloween stuff in it.
Oh, great.
And there's a lot of audience participation. Part of your ticket price gets you a kazoo. You are expected to play that in the opening number.
Oh, that's
fun. When
is this?
October 15th.
Oh, awesome.
7 p.m. So yeah, we're in pre-production and rehearsals for it right now, and I'm excited. The show is 1 hour long, so it is the comedy hour. But a lot goes into that hour. So we will have a comedic guest, we'll have a musical guest, and then everyone in the cast plays music, plus either does comedy or puppeteering or some other thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then most of them work here, because that's kind of who I it's funny, the people that work here call this place my island of misfit toys. And it is absolutely true.
Yeah.
And recently I came up with a motto for that, because I don't know if you remember the island of misfit toys. Something was wrong with each of them. They were either broken in some way or like, you know, I was like, I'm a Charlie in the box. Nobody wants that, you know, instead of a Jack in the box. So the motto here is, I don't care if you're broken broken as long as you keep working.
Right.
So, right. So that's it. But yeah, it is definitely the island of misfit toys and weirdos, and come be weird. But that's what this works. Place is all for.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely. Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in on the podcast. Filling
in. We can keep this place going.
Me too. Yes. Well, it definitely takes a village of people.
Exactly. Buy tickets. We can do ever to help.
Thank you.
We're down.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, we're all for it.
I might call you and be like, hey.
Yes.
Here's a tray.
Bartending.
We'd be down. We love that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. We're moving in a much more cabaret formatted direction now, even with our comedy shows. So a lot of them will not be straight comedy shows. We'll have other things on those shows. Even if the comedian is the headliner, then we'll put some other things in leading up to that. So it isn't all comedy. But most likely it will have humor in it and be comedic. But yeah, loungeboise.com is our website. We're getting the website rebuilt. Idaho Websites is doing it, actually pro bono, because they love us and they know that I'm broke AF. They're wonderful people. Just won the best website building business award from the Meridian Chamber of Commerce too. So that's rad. And it's women owned. So they're rebuilding. So I apologize, because right now really I just made the ticket page the homepage, because I had someone build the website and then they quit building websites, and then I had to like learn kind of. I just basically made a mess in the back end of my website, and then my friend Jenny was like, can I just do this for you, because this is just all fucked up. So I'm doing a lot more than I probably should too, including learning like WordPress in real time, which is nobody should ever do that. It's kind of silly.
We're doing that with our website host as well. So.
Yeah, it's a little nutty.
Yeah, exactly.
But we would love, at some point, we want to put some of your stuff on ours, we want to be able to get you out there.
Exactly.
We love the lounge.
Well, that's great. And since you're interviewing so many of the people on your podcast, then having some little performance clips in there kind of makes sense, so people can see and have some reference to the people that they're talking about.
To where to get tickets.
Exactly.
We want to load this place. Fill it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Only when it's safe, though. We'll fill up the parking lot for right now, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if we have to do them all outside,
I know.
Over our parkas.
I hope this ends soon. It's been such a weird time.
Yeah.
What a crazy time for everything to come together and then be the worst time to do the thing that I know how to do.
Mm-hmm. It's just we need comedy. We need shows.
Live.
We're dying.
Performances,
to do it. Jonesing.
And I can say really now from experience that it's the live piece of it that matters too, because when we locked down, we opened a live stream studio and people just were like, okay. Like, it's just not the same as being in the room and feeling the energy and being a part of something, you know? And you know, even just like you're part of the audience that night, like you belong when it's done right. So that piece of it has been hard to hold on to. But it just feels like the universe was like, all right, we're going to give you this really great gift. And then how bad do you want it? Let's see how bad you want it.
If you don't want it bad enough. Yes.
Well, thank you so
much.
Is there anything else you wanted to share?
No, just, you know, come out. Supporting the lounge also means supporting all the artists that are here, because we try to be like those people that treat the artist the way that I wished I would have been treated when I was performing all the time, instead of we really don't want to be exploitative. We want to lift everybody up if we can. Yeah. So it is a community effort. Buy tickets, come out, get some drinks.
Yes, go to loungeboise.com.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you,
Jim. All right, I'm signing out.
I'm signing off.
I'm Chris Adams.
I'm Wendy Mojer. #Get toasted.
Stay toasted. And thank you, Jen, for being on the show.